right or being kind, always choose being kind. Thanks and have a great morning.
Support for WGTD comes from Classic Violins, the premier southeastern Wisconsin workshop for family violin instruments. Master luthier always on premises. Free estimates. ClassicViolins.com, 262-577-5488.
This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva. You're listening to Community Matters, a program that highlights various local issues and organizations. It's co-hosted by Len Iaquinta, a nonprofit manager, fundraiser, and consultant, WGTD Walworth County correspondent Jim McClure, and by Linda Fleshinsky, a mother, grandmother, freelance writer, and former Racine School Board president. And now, here's today's host.
Good morning and welcome to WGTD and this our Saturday morning program, Community Matters. I'm Linda Fleshinsky, the host for this week's edition of Community Matters. It is a clear trend across the nation that homelessness is on the increase in most places and that cities are scrambling for ways to address the issue. What can we do to house and feed the homeless? Are there programs that have worked to reduce homelessness? And how are we in southeastern Wisconsin working to assist the homeless and to provide shelter and food to those in need? To discuss these and other issues is the wonderful Executive Director of HALO, which is the Homeless Assistance Leadership Organization in Racine, Gay Lorenzen. We will discuss the work that HALO is doing and, in a broader sense, how we can approach homelessness in a more effective way. Welcome, Gay, and thanks so much for coming today.
Thank you, Linda, for having me.
Could you give our listeners just a brief background, sentences about your background and how you came to be working on the homeless issue?
Certainly. Before I joined HALO, I was at Legal Action of Wisconsin as a managing attorney in Racine. And I was there about 20 years. When I first started, I became involved with the Continuum of Care, which is a group of homeless providers in Racine looking to solve homelessness and prevent homelessness. I became involved with them, and I started going to a few of the meal sites and rest, which were temporary churches mm-hmm. for the evening, would have homeless individuals stay there. And I just became very, very interested in the issue and very interested in the issues that individuals were having.
Great. It's a very compelling issue and one that we all worry about. Gay and I had talked about doing a radio show, and we hadn't made it happen. And there was a newspaper article in the paper, I think on June 4th, indicating that Racine County's homeless population had actually grown a lot from 194 to 275, which is a 42%, I'm taking this from the article, but a 42% increase in the last year. And the same article noted that in Kenosha, the increase was 16%, also great. And yet in Wisconsin, I guess the homeless population has actually decreased. What causes these fluctuations and what causes homelessness to, say, have increased so much in our area?
Well, before I address that question, mm-hmm. I would just like to make one point about that data. That is point-in-time data that is taken on one night in January every year. It is an indicator and something that communities do need to look at when they see great fluctuations like this to figure out what might be going on. Many things can cause homelessness. Most of the people that we see in our shelters, it's usually due to not having enough income. We do have some individuals who are working. They aren't earning enough money to afford an apartment or they could afford the apartment, have a roof over their head, but they wouldn't be able to afford food or pay their bills. That is probably one of the greatest reasons. Often breakups of the family cause homelessness. Domestic violence can cause homelessness. Individuals with long-term and untreated addictions, alcohol or drug addictions, can lead to homelessness. And we also see, and the data nationally indicates, also people with mental illness often become homeless.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell our listeners a little about the people who are served by HALO in terms of, you know, how, what does a regular population look like? Males, females, children, people with issues, without?
It's pretty varied, although I think, the population probably is reflective of our general populations. We are about 50% Caucasian, 50% minority. It's pretty evenly divided. Uh-huh. We have more men coming into shelter than women. Sadly, we see children in shelter. We have intact families. We have single families who come to shelter.
And the children, do you have special programming for the children? Do the buses come to HALO?
Yes. School buses? Yes. We work closely with the school districts. We want to make sure that all of the children go to school and that their education is not interrupted. There is federal legislation that addresses this issue, and especially Racine Unified School District, all school districts have a homeless liaison that we would work with. And yes, school buses do come to HALO. They pick up the children and they drop them off.
That's great. You know that I worked briefly with the short-term, 6 months.
Yes.
At that time, we called it a low-barrier shelter. I think you're trying to move away from that. But for our listeners, can you tell the difference, why we called it a low-barrier shelter, and what you do with individuals who come in with some of the issues that
low-barrier has come, I think, in many ways to mean something that really wasn't intended. I think a lot of people think of low barrier as more of a wet shelter or a place where people go where they are not required to move forward. And what low barrier really is means that the eligibility criteria to get into the shelter does not require things such as an ID. That we do not turn people away because they have a mental health issue or because they have consumed alcohol. We don't allow it on the property,
right,
or do have an addiction. And so when you talk about low barrier, you're really looking at what are your eligibility criteria for entering shelter. And a low barrier shelter, the difference is in a high barrier shelter, for example, they may require the person to be absolutely sober to enter the shelter or have an ID with them.
HALO has actually, changed in that way, though, hasn't it? Because I think that people were turned away if they had been drinking. I know in host, if they were behaving, if they were able to come in and sleep or read or talk to people, but the behavior was okay. But I think that HALO didn't always take people who drank or had mental health issues.
That is correct. Okay. HALO required that people be sober or that they be enrolled in a treatment program to remain in shelter. HALO also did often require IDs. I think that actually had been relaxed before I got to HALO. But I had heard from people that sometimes they weren't able to enter without an ID. One of the first things we would do with somebody who doesn't have an ID is to help them get that ID.
That's great. Just to kind of finish up on this low barrier thing. So you actually, even though you don't want to be called that, but when HOST closed in March, the end of March in 2017, then you actually became, were you executive director at that point? Okay. So you actually became a low barrier shelter.
Yes. We, when HOST was closing, HALO agreed to take the population from HOST. And it was at that point that we changed the eligibility criteria. As long as you're homeless, you can come to HALO.
Mm-hmm.
I would also just mention, as far as the HOST population, that not all of the individuals that were at HOST were what we think of as the stereotype of low barrier.
Right.
They were often individuals who they had timed out of another shelter, or they just mm-hmm. did not want to go to HALO for
yes.
some reason.
And again, we did have that that behavior criteria, which I'm sure you still have too. So how does your population vary from summer to winter? Is there much difference?
Our numbers have gone down significantly.
Okay.
They started going down in May. There were times from the end of last June of 2017, where our numbers were rising, even during the summer, which is rather strange for the summer, but mm-hmm. our numbers were going up. In the winter, we were often experiencing numbers as high as 160 individuals. At the beginning of May, we started to see our numbers drop. We've had a few days where the people in shelter were 90 people. I believe when I left today, there were 98 individuals mm-hmm. there. A few days ago, 105. So we are seeing few people during the summer. I think summer does make a difference,
mm-hmm.
and for a number of reasons. Some people don't mind living outdoors in the summer, and when it gets cold, they come inside for
right.
shelter. We've had an increase in the number of people getting jobs recently.
That's
great. We also had some additional funding from the city of Racine that needed to be spent by June 30th.
We
were able to use that to get some people into housing.
Yeah. Because as you fill up more, you actually were over capacity, and that means what financially?
Well, when we're over capacity financially, we have higher costs. Whether we were to add staff or not, our costs are still higher, and there's a lot of wear and tear on the building.
Mm-hmm.
If you are going to adequately serve these individuals, it does mean that you're going to have to hire more staff
right.
or have more staff available. We have shifts where we have extra people on those shifts, and we also have security, contract security there.
Oh, you do? Okay.
Yes.
And that was at Host, too. So if someone gets out of control, the security takes over and, I imagine, sends them out. Is that right?
Yes.
For
yes. Or in some cases, they can talk to the individual
okay.
and the situation is diffused. But if the behavior continues and it's disruptive or dangerous,
mm-hmm.
they will be asked to leave.
So what's the typical life like for a resident of HALO? Do you feed people three times a day? Is there a certain time in the morning that they have to go out?
We do provide three meals a day. There is breakfast. The residents make their own breakfast.
Okay.
It may range from cereal to if we do have eggs, they may make eggs for everyone. So they have breakfast there. We make sack lunches.
Wow.
There are situations where we have individuals who do stay in during the shelter during the day because they may have a medical reason or they may be helping in the shelter. And in that case, they are allowed to prepare a hot meal or sandwiches. And then we have an evening meal that we depend very, very heavily on our community to help provide. We have church groups, civic groups, and sometimes we just have a group of people who will get together to make a meal. And if that is not available, our residents will cook for themselves.
Okay. And then do you have a criteria that they have to apply for jobs? I knew of a shelter, not here, but where they have to leave at 8 in the morning, and during the week they'd have to apply for, say, 6 jobs or something. Do you have anything like that?
We do not have a criteria where they have to apply for a certain number of jobs. What we do have in place is we do ask people to leave the shelter between 9 and 2 each day
okay.
with the expectation that they are either pursuing employment or some type of training opportunity, education.
Right. Uh-huh.
Would also be something that we would like them to pursue. Or they're out there looking for housing.
Mm-hmm.
We do make exceptions
Right. You'd almost have to with such a diverse population, I would think. Yeah. Do they have chores that they have to do, the residents, clients?
Yes, our clients do have chores. Individuals that are placed in rooms, and we try to place most individuals in rooms except when we're over capacity, and that's when we have to use the mats, but then that's counted as a room also. Each room is assigned to a specific chore, and it is expected that the individuals in that room perform that chore unless they aren't able to do that chore, and then we'll find something else for them to do. Mm-hmm. Also, sometimes when they stay in during the day, they'll do additional chores and cleaning.
Right, right. How do you manage to all of the scheduling? You have staff, and what are like your staff levels? Do you always have? I suppose does the staffing fluctuate with the population of HALO?
We would like it to fluctuate. We've had in the past year not been able to have as many people assigned to some of the shifts as we would have liked.
Mm-hmm.
But for example, our second shift, rather than having two site staff on duty for 4 hours of that shift from 6 to 10 when it's pretty busy in the shelter, we do have an extra person there. Otherwise, we have two site staff on duty. And then various times of the day, we have case managers in the building. The clients make appointments to see them.
Great. I know that a huge goal of HALO is to move people from homelessness into sustainable living. And how do you attempt to accomplish that? And kind of when do you know somebody's ready to get out into independent living?
Well, we like to meet people where they're at. So it will take some people longer to make even the first step toward some of those activities I mentioned before, looking for a job, enrolling in job training, enrolling in some type of educational activity, or even enrolling, let's say, parenting or life skills. And those would probably be some of the first steps would be to meet with the client, to assess their needs, to refer them to workshops that we have on site, or to refer them to resources in the community. Our goal is to help people attain their fullest capacity. We will provide them with resources and move them along and meet with case managers. But we do meet them where they're at, and it does take some people a little bit longer.
I'm sure. Do they set goals for themselves?
Part of the case management assessment and work is for the case manager and the client to sit down and develop goals.
What happens to people since you're low barrier? Is there another word than low barrier?
So you shelter.
Shelter.
Or shelter.
Since you have some people there with mental health issues who maybe aren't able to work, do they stay like almost permanently in HALO, or what happens to those individuals?
We're often able to get those individuals additional services. Really, the goal is housing first and to get individuals housed. They're much more comfortable.
Right.
They respond much better under the housing first model.
Mm-hmm.
So get them into housing and get the services that they need. There are some individuals that we have to work with a little bit longer. We've had individuals who are actually afraid to leave the shelter, and so then you spend more of your time working with them, so their anxiety level goes down, and I think sometimes they feel safe there.
Right.
That's their safe place at that time.
And some of them probably have PTSD from various things. Is there a shortage of low cost housing? Does that affect your ability to place people?
We are having some difficulty finding affordable and habitable housing in the community, and that has a huge impact on whether or not we can exit people from shelter. If you look at, for example, somebody who's receiving supplemental security income, SSI, because they're disabled, you're looking at around $800 a month. Okay. And then when you want to house somebody or help them find housing, that's affordable, which would be 30 to 40% of their income. It's hard to find those units in the community.
Yes.
But I've also seen that with people who are earning much more than $800 a month. You know, the same thing, their housing burden should really only be 30 to 40% mm-hmm. of their income, and finding those units is difficult.
When you have families at HALO, you have a men's side and a woman's side?
So we have a men's side, and then we have a women and family side.
Okay.
So it's single women on the women and family side and families with children. And there may actually be male head of households or a male, adult male in the household.
Okay. Since you have children there, do you have to have special facilities? Do you have a playground? Do you have...
Well, we do have a playground.
Okay.
We also have a children's case manager, and the children's case manager provides activities for the children. She may do some of them herself, or she may arrange for them. We may have individuals come in from the outside and do tutoring, mentoring with the parents, work with the children on their – we work with the children on their homework. I know that our children's case manager also does some really fun activities, arts and crafts, and she tries to make everything have an educational slant to it. She'll maybe do something recreation, for example, and again, she tries to make it educational.
Mm-hmm. You have a second floor in HALO. Is there thought about, well, for one thing, do you think about separating the people who have the mental health issues or more importantly, the addiction issues? Mm-hmm. Do you ever think about a separate place, or do you think about expanding into that second floor for something else?
I think we think about this all the time.
Okay.
Well, I know we think about this all the time. And the need for... It's very difficult for somebody who is trying to remain sober to be in such close quarters with individuals who are not.
Yes.
So we do have frequent discussions on that topic, as well as discussions about separate places for families with children.
Okay.
We will continue those discussions. Uh-huh. We do have a second floor. It would need to be completely renovated. It's a big open space that right now we're using for storage. It has been explored several times, and I think that we will continue to have these discussions because this is going to continue to be an issue until mm-hmm. we figure out some type of resolution.
Yeah, I think probably one of your biggest issues, if not your biggest, is probably funding. You know, where do you get enough funds to feed, shelter, provide services for, and all the many things that you do? Where does that funding come from?
Well, I'd like to thank our the Racine and Kenosha and neighborhood communities, because we have many very generous donors, individual and corporate, which we could not survive without. We had not been getting many government grants in the past. A decision at one point had been made to stop applying for government grants, and in the last year I have applied and received quite a few government grants, so we are
Great.
Now receiving much more. In fact, we were just awarded some money for a case manager from a state grant.
Wow, that's wonderful. People really do care. It's an issue people really do care about, I think,
yes.
is housing, and they like to know that people, when it's cold, aren't going to be shut out. And there are other services for homeless, other facilities in Racine. How helpful is that to you, and do you work together?
As I mentioned, when we first started, I became involved in the Continuum of Care. It's an organization that still exists. One of the other shelters we work closely with is the Women's Resource Center, which is a domestic violence shelter. They have been also full most of the year.
I saw that in the article. They're kind of overbooked too.
Yes, they are. And if they weren't here, those individuals would probably be at HALO, and we would even have more people there. There are times when they are full, and we may take three or four of their clients for a few days until their census changes a little bit. We try to work together to make that all work out. Safe Haven is a youth shelter in the community that has children under the age of 18 in shelter for short periods of time. We cannot take unaccompanied minors at HALO. They would have to be with a parent.
And minors would be under 18.
Under 18, yes. There are other services that we work very closely with, such as Racine Vocational Ministry on employment and training issues. We work very closely with Racine County Workforce Development and Human Services.
And the Hope Center is not a homeless shelter, but they provide some. What do they do?
So the Hope Center is also a good partner of ours. They do street outreach. When they find somebody who's homeless, they try to get them to go to shelter. There are people who don't want to go to shelter for various reasons, and they will make sure that they have blankets and some food, hot drinks, and try to keep an eye on them to make sure that they're okay. They also are involved in the Continuum of Care as being one of our rapid rehousing providers, and so they do receive some funding that they can help pay for some housing and provide some case management for people who leave shelter and go to rapid rehousing.
Okay. And the Love and Charity mission, which closed when the leader died last year, I believe. But they're talking about starting up. Does that relieve some of the homelessness?
If they were to reopen as a shelter, that would help some of the capacity. I've heard that they may be looking at doing more prevention work.
Okay.
And we certainly can use more prevention work in the community. Right now we have legal action doing some work trying to prevent evictions. If we could get some of the other services that Love and Charity may be able to offer to keep somebody from losing their housing. Certainly anything that helps the inflow into shelter would be helpful.
Absolutely. How has the stress been for staff members? Because they kind of did take a pretty big detour or juncture when you took over because of taking a much broader population. Mm-hmm. So has that been stressful to the staff? How have they adjusted?
I think it's been stressful to the staff. They're dealing with larger numbers. They're dealing with a population that they really have not had much experience with. And, you can provide them training, but every day there are situations that come up that may be new to them.
Right.
I've also had a number of staff tell me that they really like the population that they're working with and really excited to be able to help them.
You know, that is true. Sometimes when you work with people who are a little harder, maybe they have addiction issues or something, but you're so excited when they make it somehow, get a job, or they're going back to school.
Right.
Or,
and I think sometimes some of the stresses, they feel like they just can't help them enough, and they want to help them more.
Right. That's very sweet. And I know that when I worked at that shelter, that's how I felt, too. It was just, you just want to help people so much. And of course, they'd like to get out of it, too. You mentioned before one of the big reasons is people losing work or not getting paid enough.
Right.
And, you know, they always say so many people in this country, I don't know what percentage, are like a paycheck away from being homeless. So you also use volunteers, I know. And
yes.
I know volunteers are important to all nonprofits, but maybe especially to the homeless shelter. So if somebody wanted to volunteer, who would they call? But also what kinds of things would they be looking at doing?
Okay. So the contact person at HALO is Nadia Awan. And she can be reached at 633-3235, extension 206. And she will be happy to discuss all volunteer opportunities with somebody that would be interested. We do anything from Adopt-A-Room, where a group would come in and paint a room.
Wow.
Some have even decorated the room.
Wow.
Meals. I think I just touched on that earlier. The meals, make a meal, serve a meal. We would even provide food if they would come and make the meal and serve it. Our clients are really happy when other people come in and serve meals and can talk to them. Bible, some people come in and do Bible study. Some people come in and do other groups like financial budgeting workshops. We have individuals who volunteer to do tutoring, work with families.
It sounds like if you have a way that you can give to someone, if you're listening to this, call 633, tell me if I've got this right, 3235,
correct,
extension 206.
Yes.
And Nadia, ask for Nadia, and they'll find a spot for you. And I know we had to get people at HOST to come and help with the food, and that was huge. So how about you, Gay? How is this work going for you? Is it discouraging? Is it hopeful? Is it how it's a big shift probably for you to going to heading the whole homeless agency?
It has been a shift, but I think the work that I've done before with the homeless made me realize that this was very important work.
Yes.
And it does give me hope that. And I think the fact that HALO gives people hope is very rewarding.
Mm-hmm. Does HALO, I thought at one time HALO was kind of working toward developing your own transitional housing. Do you have transitional housing, or are you pretty much just looking for places in the community?
HALO did have some transitional housing at one time, and then that funding went away.
Okay.
We do have permanent supportive housing, about 30 units, where we work with landlords, lease units, provide the case management, and help the individuals pay rent.
Okay.
That is through a HUD grant. We also have, as I mentioned earlier, received some rapid rehousing funding from the city.
Right.
So we have about 16 people right now who are in rapid rehousing.
Great.
So they're receiving some rent assistance and some case management. And we also receive a really small rapid rehousing grant from the state of Wisconsin. But it houses 4 households. So we're very grateful for that amount of money.
It must be very rewarding to see people able to move out and then slowly get on their own feet again.
It is very exciting when somebody moves out of the shelter and has, because they're going into their own unit. And then there's a wonderful nonprofit in the area called Feather and Nest.
Oh, I had them on this show.
They are amazing. And they just furnish the apartment so beautifully.
Yeah, you can go on the website, featherandnest.com, I think it is, and they go in and decorate, and they put up pictures, I think, even.
Yes.
Yeah.
So it's fantastic.
Yeah, and it's just people who are kind of doing it on their own. I think they're trying to raise some funds, but they've spent a lot to do it themselves.
They do a wonderful job.
Yeah. You must have a balance at HALO between trying to create a comfortable atmosphere where your clients feel at home, because it is their home for now, but also maintaining order and getting them to do things. Is that a hard balance?
It's tricky. It's very tricky. You do want people to feel comfortable, but at the same time, they need to behave in a certain mm-hmm. manner, because there are a lot of people there and people have different likes and dislikes. And they are there temporarily.
Right.
They're there to move on and become self-sufficient. But it is a tricky balance.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure that it is. Have incidents occurred where there is violence, and how do you address those?
We have had a very small number of those incidents, but we have had some. It's usually something where something gets out of hand, and mm-hmm. often a staff person isn't there to help diffuse it. We usually try to diffuse the situation. We usually try to get people to work it out. We have had to ask a few people to leave this year because of violence, because we will not tolerate violence in the shelter.
Behavior is the one thing that has to, no matter what the shelter is, it's got to be there.
Yes.
Or otherwise you're going to have chaos. So that was, you know, that's an important criteria. Do our guests or clients become friends with each other, and is that helpful, or do they, like, encourage each other?
We have had a number of situations where people have become friends and actually encouraged one another. Just this last week, and I was talking to two gentlemen in the dining room who have become friends, and they talk each morning, and they encourage each other to better themselves, and talk about when they're not in the shelter any longer, and they don't want to live together, they've decided. Mm-hmm. They don't want to share an apartment. But they want to live close to each other, mm-hmm. so they can continue their friendship and to encourage each other.
Tell me, if people are listening who have things that they could donate, do you take donations?
We do take some donations. And the best thing to do is to look at our website to see what we're taking at the current time.
And is that halo.com?
It is Halo.
We're not sure, but if you put in, actually, if you just went online and put in Halo.
Yeah, Homeless
Shelter,
Assistance Leadership
it would
or
come
Halo
up.
Shelter.
Yeah.
I think it's halo.org.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense. That sounds right. Do you keep clothing then? You keep clothing here for when people come and maybe short?
We do have a small amount of clothing in case somebody comes into shelter and doesn't have clothes, needs to make a change of clothing. We are actually exploring some other alternatives right now that may involve giving vouchers to go to, let's say, Salvation Army or Goodwill, see if that might be possible, because we really just do not have the storage capacity at the shelter right now.
That was a problem where we were. There was a big room that was just piled with stuff, and people are very generous.
People are very generous, mm-hmm. and that room is very full, but it's being cleaned out.
As we speak.
Yes.
Do you have access to computers here, or say they want to go on computers to apply for jobs? Are you able to help them with that, or do you send
them? We do not currently have computers available for the clients, but we received a very nice grant from an organization that included in it were some funds to purchase four computers. So we will be getting four computers as soon as we figure out the space that we're going to be able to put them
excellent,
in.
Excellent. Yes. There's so much that helps people access resources on the computer now. That's almost the way to do it.
Yeah, it seems like any job or even looking for an apartment or house to rent, that mm-hmm. it's online.
We don't have that much time left, so I'm going to ask you a few more philosophical questions here. But for you, what are the joys in this, and what are the biggest frustrations?
I think the biggest joy is when I see when I see a client who came in and was seemed to have no hope, I have to see a smile on their face because they've accomplished something, even something very little. That is a great joy. It's a great joy when I see somebody get the keys to their apartment. Mm-hmm. That is a very exciting day. Frustration. Things don't always move as quickly as I would like them to, and that makes me very frustrated.
Sounds like the world, doesn't
it? Yes.
In a country, you know, that's as wealthy as ours, do you think about why is there so much homelessness, and do you think that we're ever going to get out of that?
I don't know that we will ever completely end homelessness. I do think that our country can reduce homelessness. You know, you just start with some very basics, such as education, job training, spending more time with individuals who seem to be having some difficulty. I'm going to use the word barrier here, but a different word, different sense, that may have barriers to getting employment or getting housing, that we need to knock down some of those barriers. And, I'm referring specifically to any type of discrimination or even individuals who have been incarcerated and having a hard time finding a job. Those are things that we, I think, need to address.
Mm-hmm. As a nation, that whole thing about letting people out of prison and they don't have any money and they don't have anywhere to go. And that's just a huge problem, I think, that contributes somewhat to the whole thing. I know Portugal, they kind of stopped incarcerating very many people. And they're using the money that they spent for incarceration for job training, for resources, and education. And they have hardly a criminal population anymore. So it seems like there are things we could do. How successful overall do you think HALO has been?
I think over the years, HALO has been very successful. There's thousands of people who have gone through HALO over the years. Who we've never seen again.
Right.
They've been able to become self-sufficient, retain housing, and move forward in their lives.
Yep. And I guess the homeless population is pretty much like all of us and want a good life for their families. And is there any last thing you'd like to say to our listeners?
I just, again, I'm very grateful to the community for the support that they've given HALO, and just very glad that we're able to have a shelter and a shelter that doesn't just provide a bed and meals, but also provides services to people to move on.
It is said that you can judge a society by how it treats its neediest, its poorest, and its most vulnerable. So I would like to thank my guest today, Executive Director of HALO, Gay Lorenzen, for your role in addressing homelessness in Racine for those in need. You really are making a huge difference in the lives of many as you carry on your important work. For that and for being here today, I thank you.
Thank you for having me.
And finally, thanks to you, our listeners, for sharing with us your time this Saturday morning. I'm Linda Fleshensky, and I hope that you will join us here at WGTD every Saturday morning for this program as we explore the important subjects that touch our communities. Because as we all know so well, community matters. Take care.
You've been listening to Community Matters. All programs are archived at WGTD.org. Click shows. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine, Elkhorn, and Lake Geneva.
Support for WGTD comes from Piasecki Outhouse. Since 1931, Piasecki Outhouse has provided unmatched, compassionate service and are dedicated to your family, guests, and supporting the community. Piasecki Outhouse Funeral Home, honoring personal legacies and the circle of life. 262-658-4101.
Support for WGTD comes from Lemon Street Gallery. The Art Blast is coming to Lemon Street for young adults 13 plus. Fun and exciting sessions featuring pottery, painting, and assemblage. Mondays through Fridays, July 30th through August 2nd from 1 to 5 p.m. Call 605-4745 for more. Support for WGTD comes from Jack Andrea. It's patio season, which means alfresco dining at Jack's Cafe. Stop by and enjoy the sun along with breezy summer cafe soda fountain specials. Proudly serving the Kenosha community since 1911. 2401 60th Street, Kenosha. From the WGTD Arts and Other Events calendar, Racine Art Museum features community artists in a creature-themed exhibition open through August 11th. The show, Creatures, features works of art that show the viewer which beasts, pets, and animals evoke